You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 20 February. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Nessun Nayar, the shrinking JSE is another stock delists. And those Truro's results coming after market close, I thought a little light. We see what Nessun thinks. Ian Lawrence from One Logics, a tough set of results from them. And then Vickers Fostenbach, looking ahead to next week's budget. There's some good news, but there's a lot of hard work there to be done. A poll yesterday, have you drawn pension money early? 29%, yes, I needed the money. 52%, no, time is growth, 100% spot on, 19% considering it. As I said, I drew it, but I didn't need the money. I just didn't know what I was doing, to be perfectly honest. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines, MoneyWeb promising collection signs alleviate pressure for tax increases. This is PwC. They say there might even be room for taxpayer relief. We'll see about that. I'm chatting with Future Growth in a moment. Business Day, NASPAS has a plan to close the value gap. Let's be quite clear. They have lots of plans to close the value gap between NASPAS, Process and Tencent. And so far, those plans have come to absolutely nil. We spoke to Skulk Lo week before last. The gap's just got bigger. It's literally got bigger. It's going the wrong way. Morning markets are red. S&P off 0.4, NASDAQ down 0.6. Sydney, we've got down 0.2 and Tokyo off 0.7. Commodities red, gold 1768, Rand 1463. And top 40 looking for a red open about two-thirds of a percent lower.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown
on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Nessun Nayar. He is a portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Nessun, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. Truro's results came out at the close yesterday. When the update came out back in January, the stock absolutely moved and has been in a bit of a tear since then. Bit weakness the last maybe week or so. Your take on those results? I don't know. I thought they were perhaps a little light, but maybe I'm just being overly vicious on their numbers.
Yeah, Simon, you know, if you look at the sort of retail sector in general, it's been probably a little bit too heavily sold off. So the rallies that we're seeing now, we had Spar and ShopRite as well during the week. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm actually of the view that this is a little bit better than what I anticipated. Even the retail sales number doesn't tell the full story. I think the stock prices had priced in a doomsday scenario, really, for 2020, and that just didn't materialize. So, you know, when Truett's put out that update that you're talking about in January, remember it was on a Friday afternoon after the market closed, at a big rally on the Monday. I think, you know, we might actually see, you know, the stock actually do almost nothing, because the relief rally had already taken place post the update. So, you know, let's wait and see when the market opens today exactly what the share price does. But, you know, I think we were probably prepared for a lot worse, and that didn't happen. And the results, the actual results, kind of, you know, verify that it hasn't actually been a massive calamity, but it also hasn't been great as well.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, price versus expectation. You know, maybe the results are light, but let's be clear, the price is under pressure. And since that update, I'm checking the chart, Truro's is up 33% since that January update. So maybe they've priced a whole bunch in already. News out yesterday, another stock leaving the market, Value. I got to say, it's a company I've long liked. It's a company I've long thought was undervalued. Our market is shrinking. This is not a new story. And this is a small cap, which I suppose for the big asset managers, with no liquidity and the like. But I mean, for smaller portfolios, for private clients, there's less and less out there, and the trend is going the wrong way.
Absolutely. I think also, they did make the point, you mentioned it as well, it was to do with liquidity in the share, but I think it's a bit more than that. I think the share, I mean, what was the premium offered? It was close to 50%.
Almost 50%. Giant.
Yes. So to me, you know, really bad results. These are, as you can expect, very cyclical businesses. And you can imagine that, you know, these are the times that they get delisted, because this is when investor apathy is at its highest. But unfortunately, you know, we had Adapt IT. So in the IT space, there's been a few. In the logistics space now, there has been. In the engineering space, there is. All these high cyclical businesses that tend to do very well in a good economy look like they are leaving the JSE, which is not going to leave much when things do turn around. Now, you know, a lot of people will say, well, when are things going to turn around? We don't know. But the truth of the matter is, as an investor, you know, you almost have a smaller and smaller universe from which to choose from, which is not good. But I think for the overall investment environment.
Yeah, and of course, it's the good stocks that leave. It's not the rats and mouse that no one cares about. As I said, I mean, value's been a stock I have long thought. Truthfully, I've suspected we were going to see a takeover. It was just too good a quality, and they weren't being rewarded. We'll leave that there. Nissan Naya, Portfolio Manager, Sasfin Securities. Sir, appreciate your early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Vikas Vruchtenberg. He is a head interest rate processor at Future Growth Asset Management. Vikas, morning. Appreciate your time. You put out a sort of a look ahead to next week's budget, which comes on Wednesday. You kick off with a sliver of good news. And sliver probably is, I suspect, what it is. In essence, from our medium-term budget policy statement in October, it looks like tax revenues are going to be about 100 billion better than expected, which is great. Of course, the number was well depressed, but it does give Minister Mboweni a bit of wiggle room.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, indeed. I think, you know, we should probably take what comes our way, as you indicated, an improvement in first quarter trends. But of course, it's from a low base. It's from a horrible situation. So it's just less horrible now. But in the end, you know, your budget deficit is probably going to be a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Simon, you know, in the end, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, you know, so we still need to cut expenditure. Expenditure is sort of holding up relative to budget. But that and the wage bill in particular, they're all sort of like issues still sort of hovering in the background. And so if you end up with, you know, for the forthcoming fiscal year, we estimate the deficit for 2021-2022 somewhere around, you know, 9 to 10% of GDP. That's huge. I mean, that's supposed to be lower, a lot lower, closer to 3%. So, you know, in the end, your debt to GDP ratio, we're still issuing debt. We have a primary deficit. So that implies that we have to borrow to service our sort of debt load. And, you know, that's just not sustainable, Simon. So, yes, we take the good news, and it's great. And I don't think there's going to be a need for him to sort of even consider raising taxes. As it is, I think that we would argue that South Africa is overtaxed as it is in any case, and it's been the case now for years. So there's not a lot of room to maneuver there, but at least he can sort of like avoid that one for now, I think.
Yeah, and he did mention in his October statement that they was looking for tax increases. That does look like it's out the window for now. And I mean, let's stress that for now. You mentioned the wage negotiation. I mean, I remember February last year, I was in Cape Town for budget, and afterwards I chaired a panel, and there was a general sense of not a bad budget, but a lot of promises, and we needed to see execution. Yeah. Of course, you know, COVID came. That didn't happen. But one of them was the government wage bill, those negotiations with union. And that remains, I mean, maybe not the biggest threat, but certainly a significant threat to our budget, not just this year, but in the years ahead.
Absolutely, Simon. I mean, if you look at the wage bill, our sort of last estimates, around about 55% of tax revenue collection goes to sort of like the wage bill. So that's just not sustainable, you know. So, and it's a very sort of difficult one to sort of address because it's obviously also about politics. So there's lots of execution risk here. So lots of promises. Good intent. We know what we need to do. We know how to get to that, but massive execution risk process. I mean, the big picture, if we zoom out and we don't sort of like from all those sort of bits and pieces, we have what we call a fiscal strength score. You know, and just to give you sort of a feel for the sort of big picture, 5 is a great score. We were sort of close to 4 in 2006, 2007. When we actually printed small surpluses. And now we're down to a score of around 1.5, and you do not want to be sitting at 0. So there's still a long way to go. But, you know, as you said, there's some sliver of good news. So let's see whether we can build on that.
We've seen personal income tax under pressure. We get that. The pandemic, you know, decimated employment, et cetera, et cetera. Is that something, I mean, can we expect in the year ahead and maybe less in this calendar year, but certainly looking forward to 2022, to that to sort of start to pick up, less perhaps because we're having a rocking economy, more perhaps simply because, you know, the pandemic is moving behind us?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think it's sort of tax source that we would sort of prefer. Personal income tax, it's just, as you said, it keeps losing momentum. But I think it's going to be sort of very difficult for them to consider right now, but maybe further down the road.
That's Vickers Frustenberg. He is Head Interest Rate Process, Future Growth Asset Management. The poll which we're putting out to you today on our Twitter account, what's your expectation of the budget next week? Tough but decent, a horror show, going to be great. I think tough but decent. You'll find that on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb.
Finance Minister Tito Mboweni will deliver his much-awaited 2021 budget to Parliament on Wednesday, the 24th of February. Join MoneyWeb in a free webinar with economists Dr. Iraj Abidian and Isaiah Mtlanga and tax expert Yolandi Esterhazen for a post-budget day analysis on Thursday, the 25th of February at 11 a.m. Go to moneyweb.co.za to register and take part in the conversation.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Ian Lawrence. He is CEO of One Logics. I've been chatting to Ian probably for a dozen years around results time. And every time I drive to Durban, I see their One Logics vehicle delivery trucks heading up and down the N3. It was 6 months to end November. Revenue down 16%. Core HEPS down 43%. But the net asset value at R4.11 and tangible net asset value, $3.43, stock trading at R2. Ian, appreciate your time this morning. Your vehicle delivery service, and One Logics is now a lot more than just vehicle delivery service, but how much pressure have you seen in that particular sector in terms of, you know, are vehicles being sold? We certainly saw April numbers collapsed. This is the June to November. Has that sort of returning to normal or still under pressure?
Good morning, Simon. No, it's definitely still under pressure. There's no question. The common cause is that the vehicle market last year was pretty much the worst that it's been for the last 11 years. And as you know, even in that period, it's been contracting every year as well. So it's been quite a tough ride for the last couple of years. You know, every now and then there's a bit of an uptick. Also, the common cause is now that there's a little bit of an upturn in the market, but it's coming off such a small base, you'd imagine that would happen. So it is tough times.
Yeah, and you mentioned off that small base. It's exactly what Nessa Naya from Sasfin said earlier. It's the base effect. We're off those massively low bases. And you, as I said, you've kind of moved away from just the vocal delivery. You've got the Buffles hook, Jackson and the like. How much is vehicle still part of your business in terms of percentages? In other words, how much have you sort of expanded beyond the traditional delivering of motor cars?
Simon, vehicles for us constitutes the movement of motor vehicles and also trucks. Mm-hmm. If you take those both together, they account for some 25 to 30% of our profit. And you might remember, we've been talking for a number of years. In those early days, that component would have constituted about 80% of our revenue. So it has come down substantially. You might have seen that we made an acquisition of a business called AgriTrans, mm-hmm. In the agricultural space. So we like agriculture, and you mentioned Jackson and Buckleshook. They are in the agricultural space, so we are expanding into that area. We also in liquid bulk as well, and a number of small little areas as well. So yeah, it's a pretty much a broad-based specialized logistics service now is OneLogix.
Yeah, and as you say, used to be vehicles a whole lot more. Agricultural space, and I've been chatting to farmers and the like, they're seeing great rain, they're seeing great crop prices across many of the different crops and certainly rains across the country. Are you seeing a bit of an uptick there? Or, obviously the pandemic impacted it, but is that a sector where perhaps has a slightly brighter 2021 perhaps than the vehicle sector?
Yes, I think there is going to be. We had a drought about three or so years ago, and we've recovered from that for 2 years, in fact, in a row. So agriculture is looking quite buoyant. There's no question. So that is, it's not without its problems, of course, but it's certainly a lot brighter future looking there than it is in the motor vehicle market.
You mentioned the potential opportunities for acquisitions and the like. You've done the sale and lease back of your Umlaas Road Phase 3 development that has been approved, so that has now happened. Are you looking for at different sectors? Are you looking perhaps more, again, within the agricultural or bulk liquid sector?
I think of all three, the three big segments we're in are agriculture, liquid bulk, and vehicles, as we've spoken. If we had to look at bolt-ons, we'd certainly look at agriculture. But mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is, right now, there are quite a few distressed businesses out there.
Yeah.
And we're reasonably well-placed to have a look at those. So we wouldn't be bound to any of those specific segments. If there's something that looks good in a segment that makes sense to us, we'll certainly have a look at it. And I think going forward, there's going to be a reasonable amount of opportunities in that space.
We'll leave it there. That's Ian Lawrence, CEO of OneLogix. And the key point here is that they've gone from being vehicle delivery. Now, agriculture is quite in that part as well. And I can't help thinking, I've liked Carp Agri because farmers are doing well. Perhaps there's something here in OneLogix as well. That's it for the show today. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 30. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. The poll that we're asking you on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb, what is your expectation for the budget next week? Tough but decent, a horror show, or going to be great? As I said, I think it's going to be tough, but I think it'll be okay. It's not going to be an end-of-world budget. It could be a lot better, but not the end of the world. And just a heads up, Wednesday, immediately after the budget, I will be on SAFM with an expert panel, and we'll be unpacking what Minister Mboweni has said. Instead of looking forward, we can look at the actual hard realities of the budget. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Masekla. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.